Yes, it does. And we thank you so much for being here with us. 2 hours down, one more left to go. That is the Nature Boy.
Woo!
One Jason H.W. Ross. I am Damian Barling. As you heard Chris mention there, Roy Halladay, former two-time Cy Young Award winner, passed away today. He had a plane that went down in the Gulf of Mexico. He was the only one on it. Just a terrible, terrible story coming out of there. If you're on social media, if you're on Twitter, you see just tons of condolences. Yeah. He appeared, you know, people are always very kind with their words when someone passes away, man. But the overwhelming theme of Roy Halladay was what a fantastic individual he was. And all baseball stuff aside, what a fantastic person he was. So we've been dealing with that for the last hour and have tried to keep you up to date on that news while still making those difficult transitions to sports. We mentioned that Josh Johnson has signed with the Houston Texans. We both had him confused with Josh Freeman.
Yes.
Formerly of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Josh Johnson, by the way, who hasn't thrown a pass, who hasn't taken a snap since December of 2011, is playing for the quarterback who was, is playing for the coach who was concerned when answering questions about a specific quarterback who hasn't played in a couple of months. But if you're curious about Josh Johnson, he has played for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers indeed. And since playing for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, he stopped in 2011. Since playing for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, he has played for the San Francisco 49ers, the Sacramento Mountain Lions, the Cleveland Browns, the Cincinnati Bengals, the San Francisco 49ers again, the Cincinnati Bengals again, the New York Jets, the Indianapolis Colts, the Buffalo Bills, the Baltimore Ravens, the New York Giants, and now your Houston Texans. Wow.
The Mountain Lions, huh? That's what I took out of all that.
We have got, that is just so preposterous.
Yeah.
We have got your tickets to see. There's so much I want to say right now. I'm just not, because I just can't. I don't want that fight today. But what argument do you? I just named 15 teams off. That was just since 2011.
I've got nothing on that one.
The Causeway Classic is coming up at Hornet Stadium, Sac State, Davis, November 18th. Jay Ross on the call. We got your family four-pack of tickets right now. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. JR, what's happening, buddy?
Hey, here we mid-range.
And yes, indeed, mid-range city.
Yeah, I had the luxury of coming home late Saturday, not late, midday Saturday, and turning on a station and hearing the great Jason Aloysius Ross calling the old Hornets.
How about that?
How about that against NoCo?
NoCo, that's right.
And you do a great job. I love you brought up Charles Roberts.
Yeah.
Because you guys were you rattling off like all-time leading rushers or something?
I don't know. Who knows what we were doing?
You guys are pretty funny. You are kind of like all over the map. I think you prepare for your telecast like that guy prepared for his football games. You know what I mean?
That's right.
But, Jay Ross, you're the man. You do a great job on that football. I'll tell you right now. Damon, he's got some skill sets there.
He's got a lot of skill sets. His beat, his speed, his upside is absolutely tremendous. This kid next to me is going to make it one day. I'm going to tell you that right now.
I think so, too. He's got a huge upside. I mean, he might not have played for 11 different teams in the last 4 years.
Give me time.
But did I hear Mountain Lions in there?
You did hear
sure
the Mountain
did.
Lions. Yes, you did.
Wow.
Yeah.
Didn't Culpepper play for, was it the Mountain Lions or the Surge or someone?
Mountain Lions as well.
Yeah. Man, we're good at recycling this quarterback. We should bring back the Mountain Lions, J-Rock.
It's a rich history of Mountain Lions.
Didn't Denzel's son play for the Mountain Lions?
Confirmed.
Who's now on Ballers?
Yes.
Okay.
Did he really?
Yeah. What's it? Ricky Jarrett. Ricky Jarrett is his name.
Character.
Ricky Jarrett played for the Sacramento Mountain Lions. Yeah. That's awesome.
Oh, that's good knowledge right there, brother.
How about that?
You brought something.
Hanging out with Jason long enough, I'll contribute something to the broadcast. Thanks, JR. We appreciate you. As always, I wanted to read this text to you because we were talking about Josh Gordon a few moments ago and the new GQ article that was posted yesterday where how forthright he was and he had a ritual whether the ritual included weed or alcohol, whatever before games he would take. We got this text from Karen. I'm sure you saw it as well. She said true alcoholics can function on alcohol. It's when they don't have it that really makes itself.
Interesting.
So I guess once you, if you develop a routine that involves alcohol, well, I think she's saying that alcoholics can function like that.
Yeah.
And he probably feels weird when he didn't have it. So it's an interesting story. Again, if you watched or just took a peek at or just listened to us talk about that 11-minute piece that aired on the Undisputed. This is a tremendous companion piece as Josh Gordon returns to the Cleveland Browns today. Chris Fallot just informed us that he put the article up on our Facebook page, which you can like on Facebook, The Lowdown. Go check us out. Everything we talk about here on the show, we try to put there as well. Winners and losers of Week 9 of the NFL season. We got the Thunder and Kings tonight. Spent a great deal of time talking about that. Jay Ross will be back with Kings Live at 6:30. Tip coming up at 7 o'clock. From the Golden One Center. Second round of playoff predictions, college football playoff rankings, I should say, are tonight. We'll have our second round of predictions coming up here in about 30 minutes or so. Also, the Ric Flair 30 for 30 airs tonight. We will get Jason Ross's memories on the Nature Boy, Ric Flair. Winners and losers of Week 9. You want to lead us off? We got some good ones this week.
Yeah, and I'm going to go I got to put them back in here for the week at least, and for what they did, what the week they had, and that's the Raiders. Because it hasn't been going well. They needed a win. They kept their season alive here. Marshawn ran better. Carr was better. It wasn't the perfect game by any means. But then you kind of sprinkle in Chargers having a bye week, Denver seemingly falling apart, and Kansas City leaving the door open. So all those things in its totality, I think today we could be talking about a Raiders team that's 3-6 and done, but we're not. They're 4-5. And now just two back of Kansas City with a win over the Chiefs, still a game with them ahead. And for the moment, everything's okay in Raiderland. And they also a bye. It's just, it all kind of timed out well for them. A game they had to get, they got in when they weren't perfect, but they still won.
I actually thought you were going to go that route, but go a different route. I thought you were going to go with the new Oakland.
Oh, the new I should have.
I thought include that was him. The route, yeah, you were going to go with the winners, because that's what I had jotted down here as one of the winners for the week is the new Oakland. Meaning Marshawn Lynch and how that performance that we saw from Marshawn Lynch this past weekend is what I think a lot of Raider fans hoped for heading into the year.
Yeah.
Now, can I piggyback on this while we're talking about Raiders? Our guest from training camp this past year, Marshall Newhouse.
Yes.
That's going to be replayed for a very, very long time. When highlights come out at the end of the year, Marshall Newhouse's highlight is going to make the cut.
Yeah, and for while that happened, I really wanted to see him run more, like, because it looked he was going to go, but then actually that's probably the perfect way for it to end.
I'm still not clear as to what he was doing.
Oh, he was taking it to the house.
No, really?
Well, he was trying to. Wasn't it like third and long, and the ball went back, and he was like, I'm going to get this first down, and then undercut, and whee!
Where was he going? Like,
I don't know.
It didn't matter.
Who wants to tackle?
It just amounted to. I think we posted a video on Facebook last night where it's that play with the "I Believe I Can Fly" music in the background.
Yeah.
Another reason to go like us on Facebook. Good stuff there from Marshall.
Yeah, that's a good one. My next one is I labeled it the 2016 rookie quarterbacks, and of course we're getting Wentz love. We're getting love for Goff, but also Dak. I'm putting all three in there. They all had great weeks. They're all playing really well. Their teams are rolling. And when you see other teams that are still searching for a quarterback that's been on 11 teams in a few years or whatever, and just they feel good with what they have and what they're going forward, and it's nice when you've got that position solidified.
When you talk about those guys that you just mentioned from that class with Dak and Goff and Carson Wentz, you are, to a certain degree, talking about three of the best teams in the league, which is pretty extraordinary.
Yeah, I mean, I think your QBs.
Philadelphia, I think, is the class of the league right now, and I absolutely believe the Rams are in the conversation. And Dallas is there. There's just so many. I guess this is it on Thursday with Ezekiel Elliott. This is it. He's either going to be forced to serve his suspension or he's going to be whatever
pushed
it is this time
season,
is going to be ruled in his favor, and the hearing will be after the season. So I guess this is it. I guess Thursday is a big day for the Dallas Cowboys and Ezekiel Elliott. Yeah.
Big day number 10.
I know you're bummed about this story coming to an end.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm sure they'll find a way to keep it going.
Probably.
Jerry will find a way to keep it going. Is clutchness a word?
We made it one.
Okay, Kirk Cousins' clutchness.
Okay.
I didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
I saw Russell Wilson's coming.
We've seen it. Yeah.
I would have happily have bet money on that. Not my money, but I would have bet your money on that. Kirk Cousins against that Seattle defense in Seattle? Mm-mm. Not at the link.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have had that coming, but he did, man, and he just ching ching.
Yeah.
Add some more dollars there to the end of Kirk Cousins' contract next season, wherever it may be. That was a big performance for him and his Washington team, by the way. Can't ignore, you mentioned this earlier when you were talking about the NFC East, how a division is open and how it's not impossible for three teams from that division to get in. I'm not buying it yet. I'm not buying it yet because Carolina's still lingering around. There's still enough teams that are kind of lingering around. We'll have to see how it plays out the second half of the season. But your argument is there, and I can see it.
You can see the roadmap. I mean, it all has to go well. Another a winner for me this week. It might be a week early, but the story is really cool to me because it doesn't seem that long for me, but we didn't have to live it. I still remember being here in the studio when the announcement about Teddy Bridgewater, I mean, basically ripped apart his knee and his leg, and it was gruesome, and people were very concerned, and that he's been activated. I mean, it's been a lot of work in the meantime, but I think that's a great story, and it's not easy to come back. He's motivated to come back, and he might get back in. I don't know. I don't know how they're going to play that, but if he gets activated, that means he's at least on the two deep. And on the two deep, you're one snap away, but these are also plans of, hey, we're getting him back, but then in two or three more weeks, maybe we're starting him. I don't know how they're going to do it, but I think it's a great story.
Well, they're trying to figure out what they're going to do with
Bradford in the
meantime,
yeah.
And if he's going to go to IR or what's going to happen. So, yeah, it could be. Correct me if I'm wrong. It was right before the show started when Teddy Bridgewater got hurt. It was like right, like we were sitting here getting ready to go on, and there was a uh-oh, and we're reading, you know, Teddy Bridgewater hurt at practice, and then we're reading more and more tweets like, oh, this doesn't feel normal. There's something wrong here. Maybe it was just after the show started, but I do remember, I feel like if it was happening, we were in a commercial break, because I remember there was this prevailing feeling of, This is weird. Like, this isn't normal. Like, there's like almost a panicked response to what happened to him.
It went from, okay, injury to non-contact. And we're like, okay. And then it's, you know, ambulance on the field, players concerned, players praying. It's like, wait, what? There, you could just tell by the tone of the text and the tweets that were coming that it was very serious.
Which, you know, in comparison, you go to like Deshaun Watson's injury. Deshaun Watson goes down in the non-contact injury. Players didn't know what happened.
Yeah,
players didn't know what happened until after practice. Was said he went down, didn't make a peak. The doctors came over to check on him. He said something went wrong with my knee. Just the polar opposite of what happened to Teddy Bridgewater. Two entirely different injuries, by the way. The closest that you can compare to what Teddy Bridgewater went through was Zach Miller.
Right, that was recent with the Bears.
Yeah, that's the closest of the dislocated kneecap resulting in the torn.
Yeah,
everything.
Deshaun Watson, people were just bummed. Like, he's playing well, he's out, but they know he can come back. This one's like, is he going to be able to play, walk, all the, will he keep his, I mean, there was lots
amputations.
Of layers.
That was a weird one. So this is a good story. Regardless of what happens from here.
He made it to this point.
This is a good story. Now, for him, I doubt it is.
Yeah.
I doubt that he's not at the good part.
Exactly.
This isn't the good part of the story. The good part of the story is him getting back onto the football field for the first time. And man, when he does, that's going to be a pretty awesome moment. How about running backs as some winners? Adrian Peterson, we mentioned Marshawn Lynch a few minutes ago. Jay Ajayi was real good. Alvin Kamara, Mark Ingram, both for the same team, were really good. Cam Newton, the best running back in Carolina, was fantastic. For a position that has been devalued so greatly over the course of the last few years, I just named off a whole bunch of players who made a pretty big difference in their teams winning and losing, specifically Ezekiel Elliott, and I'm obviously being facetious with Cam Newton, and then the combination of Kamara and Ingram there in New Orleans.
Yeah, great week. That's rare in the NFL nowadays.
You got any more winners?
Nope, tapped out.
The potato sack race, come on, man!
Well, I left that one for you.
The
you love that.
The potato sack race, the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm glad they lost the game, but I'm glad they gave us that moment.
Yeah.
Between that and the Tyreek Hill touchdown, I'm glad they gave us those two moments. So let's get negative here for a little bit. Losers?
Real fast. What was last night? Was that like Rock'em Sock'em? What were they doing
last
night?
Yeah, that was the Rock'em Sock'em
Robots.
That was pretty
good.
Yeah, I thought that was fun too. Yeah,
I wasn't sure that's what they were doing, but I thought it was.
I felt like that was two guys sitting down like brothers or whatever playing the Rock'em Sock'em Robots. One of them doesn't go the other way, and then the brothers start fighting. Right. That's how I took it. I don't have a brother, so I wouldn't know. But that was just a guess.
On the negatives for the losers of the week, there's plenty here. And, well, I don't know where to start, but maybe number one. I'm going just McAdoo and the Giants. I mean, the Giants can be lumped in there the way they're playing, but his halftime, the question asked about his halftime speech, the glazed look of
All right, coach.
Yeah.
All right, coach.
Wow. Yeah. We'll go get him.
If there was ever a soundbite that encompassed a game for a particular team, that may have been it.
Yeah, that's exactly how they were. They were just and talk,
followed by awkward silence. Yeah,
talking about Eli's future. Where they are, worrying about a draft pick now coming up, just the Giants in general. But McAdoo is kind of the face of that weekend.
You know what would have made it even better if he just walked off?
Yeah.
He just left. And left.
Yeah.
did the Randy Watson, point and exited the stage?
Yeah. That would have been perfect.
I mentioned Cam Newton as one of the winners because he was a fantastic running back for the Carolina Panthers. He's still going on my loser list because there are just some things he doesn't.
Go where?
He's.
Where are you going, Cam, with that?
Basically, what he's saying is the Panthers are about to sink.
Oh, boy.
We're still headed for the iceberg. Yeah. We lost Kelvin Benjamin. We're still headed for the iceberg, though, fans.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
Yeah. We'll be all right.
No one has had more media mishaps this year than one Cameron Newton.
Same division, same position.
I don't know which one of those two sound bikes I like more, by the way. Those are great.
They are they're different, but they're equally good. Enjoyable.
They are fantastic.
Same quarterback or same division with a quarterback, Jameis.
Mm-hmm.
Jameis. I mean, played poorly, got injured, instigated a fight, gave the weirdest pregame rant to get his team fired up. You hear the guys are like, "How many? What are you?" Yeah.
Oh man.
What'd you just do?
Can someone else talk? Can someone else talk besides you? Because you're awful at this. Anybody? Hell, Ryan Fitzpatrick could give a Harvard dissertation that would be more entertaining than
that. That's fine. They might be equally confused, but that's fine.
Yeah. They won't be dumber. I'll tell you that. You might be dumber after listening to Cam Newton. That's the second time we've played it today, and I feel stupider.
Yeah.
That's saying a lot.
Yeah, Jameis and Tampa, just collectively bad losers for the week.
And, you know, we kid about that soundbite right there from the pregame speech. That stunt that he pulled with Marshawn Lattimore, which has ultimately resulted in Mike Evans getting suspended, was so, and it's so childish, and that puts me on the loser list because I bought into him watching Hard Knocks.
I'm with you.
And I watched this. I won't even talk about buying into the team, even though I did, very much did buy into the team. But watching him on Hard Knocks, it was like, man, okay, this is what you want, right? I thought then, and I think Ryan Fitzpatrick even said something to him about like, hey, man, you might want to shorten them pregame hype speeches just a little bit. I think you're talking too long. But they were bad then. Like he's in, you know, now he's in midseason form and they're just awful. But I bought in and was like, man, he's got it together. He's matured. This is what you want from your franchise quarterback. And then here we are, a couple of losses later. He's like Cam Newton in a way.
Yeah.
Right? In that when they're winning,
he's good.
He's good to go. When they're losing, he acts like a petulant child.
Yeah, that was like Florida State camp. I mean, Jameis.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Because it's like we heard the reputation. All right, that's college. Let's give you a chance. And by all things, he's been pretty good and upstanding in all things with the Buccaneers. But that kind of – that's just not – as his coach said, it was unacceptable.
I got another loser. I don't think you're going to agree with this one, though.
All right.
Actually, I got a couple.
I got a couple more. I got another one, too.
Okay, John Elway.
All right, I'm with you.
Okay, are you?
Well, I labeled mine Denver quarterback situation. So, but he's responsible for it.
He's responsible for a lot. Mm-hmm. And I asked you Monday Is John Elway as a general manager overrated? You remove, or whatever his title is. That might not be his exact title, so sorry. Remove Peyton Manning from the situation. What are we talking about here? We're talking about Von Miller in the defense, right? You know how many Pro Bowlers John Elway has drafted?
I don't know that.
One.
Wow.
And you know who it is.
Yeah.
It's the one we just named. It's Von Miller. That's it. Now, there's a long list of there's a lengthy list of players who were drafted after the Broncos in those drafts that have become Pro Bowlers. But he's drafted one, and it's Von Miller. And if I name the rest of the players, unless you're Gordon, our resident Denver Broncos fan, you're not going to know who the hell I'm talking about.
Well, and I'm intrigued by his talent evaluation of quarterbacks, too, the position he's a Hall of Famer in. I mean, he brought Peyton in, but he's also Mark Sanchez, Osweiler a couple times. Simeon, Lynch, they're still searching.
But was hell-bent on getting rid of Tim Tebow because of how bad he was.
Yeah.
Now, you got rid of Tebow to bring in Peyton Manning. You're never going to argue that.
And actually, they were intrigued with Kaepernick. At least rumors looked like they were going to trade for him a year ago.
Right.
That didn't happen. But so just his overall resume of QBs he's looked at is interesting. And now it's Lynch? Is it Lynch?
I don't even – like, I'm going to take it – like, I guess I'm just going to a further extreme than you are because you're saying
– I'm just going to one position. Yeah,
and I'm looking at him as a talent evaluator, period.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes when you're a beloved quarterback, which John Elway is, you tend to get a pass for stuff like this. I don't know how – you know, would Michael Jordan have been employed as long as he was if he wasn't Michael Jordan? Because he didn't have a – stake in Washington, right? He just ran Washington, so to speak. Like he was the general manager, right. But he didn't have a stake in that team, did he? With Bob Johnson?
Well,
that's Polian
or
Polin,
I think.
Yeah. I'm trying to. But when he went to Charlotte,
he got ownership. Then he's not.
Then he got ownership. Yeah. Then obviously he's not going away. But it took him a while. Mm-hmm. John Elway, I feel like, oh yeah, no, look how great we look at how good Denver is. But, like, that doesn't – I don't know how much of that has to do with John Elway.
Yeah.
Especially when you look at his drafts.
Well, he also still did put together part of that defense, right? I know as far as your drafting resume is a good point with Von Miller being the only Pro Bowler. But still put together that team that did win a Super Bowl, and that's going to – you know, it's more than a lot of general managers out there. Yeah. So, yeah, Denver quarterback situation was my other one.
You're – big, we love confetti guy.
Yes.
We love cannon guy.
Love him.
I got this one. I was perusing through the Ringer last night. Did you know the firework guy in Philly ran out of fireworks?
They scored too many points.
After 51 points, the firework guy in Philly ran out of fireworks.
I got an update for your Jordan story.
Okay.
He did have a small ownership in the Wizards.
Okay.
Which he had to sell before playing for them. So the idea of him becoming the GM, they also gave him ownership, and then he had to sell it when he became a player.
Okay, that's what was playing in my head is the fact that he was a player. There's no way he could be an owner.
Yeah,
but that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely,
that makes sense.
Firework guy.
He's out.
What do you think he had? I was like, I'm good up to about 48 points, but over 50, yeah, where he didn't have that.
I want to interview Firework Guy in Philly. Like, where did you guys run out?
Yeah.
Like, what point total did you guys run out of fireworks? And we're big on the firework, confetti, all those guys. Those guys are very important to the lowdown.
Big jobs.
Philly Firework Guy, you.
Come on, you're not on the Wentz wagon. You got to be aware that he can score 60.
You got to, man. Come on. Yeah. Come on, if I know it, you got to know it.
Trust the process.
Man. Yes, indeed. We'll come back. It's always fun to poke fun at teams. The Browns, they attempt to explain the failed trade involving A.J. McCarron. And the explanation is fantastic. That's next on the Lowdown. Got our second round of college football playoff predictions coming up in just a few minutes. Coincidentally, the second round of college football playoff rankings are coming out in just about 90 minutes or so.
UCLA at 1.
Huh? No, UCLA, they're a bunch of...
Watch it.
I'm saying there have been 3, including your boy, LeAngelo, arrested in China. He might lose hands or something in China for getting arrested.
Falsely accused. No, I don't know. It doesn't look good.
Who steals in China, by the way?
I don't know.
Like, I've been to China. Like, do you know that that's, like, dude, you like a pennies on the dollar.
Really?
Yes. You can get customs. You know all those suits that like Charles and Kenny Smith wear?
Yeah.
You get them made in China for like $6.
Maybe that's
and
what
I'm not
they were doing.
Exaggerating. Yeah, so what, they didn't want to pay the $6, they just left?
I don't know.
What is wrong with you? These Bruins, man. I'm telling you, these Bruins. Bad look, Jason.
It is a bad look.
It's a bad look.
Yeah.
We're not going to reward the football team with this type of behavior from the basketball team. And why haven't we heard from LeVar yet?
Ugh.
I cannot wait. This is the one time I want to hear from LeVar.
I know. What's his explanation going to be?
That's what I want to hear. Yeah.
He's going to have something.
Of course he's going to have something. When does he not have something? Is he in China? Or is he with Lonzo?
Oh, he's following Lonzo.
Where is he?
Of course he is.
That's the meal ticket.
Yeah.
That is the meal ticket. Thunder at Kings coming up at 7 o'clock. Jay Ross coming back with Kings Live at 6:30. That means game night at 5:30. So we got you all set up with coverage of the Sacramento Kings and the Oklahoma City Thunder. It was great to talk to Fred Katz of the Norman Transcript earlier today. If you missed that, subscribe to the Lowdown Podcast on iTunes or whatever your favorite podcast platform is. You can catch up on everything we did today, including that interview with Fred Katz. Always good to get the opponent's perspective of the game tonight and how we may very well have a foul-free game tonight because Oklahoma City commits the ninth most fouls in the entire league. But Sacramento doesn't get to the foul line.
Because we're mid-range city.
And Oklahoma City doesn't get to the foul line, and that's what you got to remember today.
Yes. Folks. If there's one thing you learn from today's show.
When you're tweeting about tonight's game, even if you normally don't tweet, tweet tonight using the hashtag mid-range city. We think that might be the slogan for the Sacramento Kings as they are fantastic. Their mid-range game.
Number one.
Number one in the entire league.
Yeah. One win, but they are number one in mid-range shots.
One win out of how many games?
More than one?
More than one, yes, indeed. More than one game, and they are leading the league in mid-range jumpers.
But last in threes, last in points at the rim, last in free. It's okay.
Hashtag,
number one in mid-range.
Hashtag mid-range city.
Yeah, make it happen. Make it a thing.
Use that when talking about the Sacramento Kings tonight on not just on Twitter, actually, on any social media platform. There have been a number of jokes that LiAngelo was trying to steal real shoes.
Hmm. Okay, that's well done.
I want to point that out here on the text line, 44-1140. I'm not sure if LiAngelo and these UCLA Bruins getting busted in China for shoplifting is funnier than what Sashi Brown had to say. Sashi Brown, the general manager for the Cleveland Cavaliers, what he had to say about the failed A.J. McCarron trade. Now, there's been a lot of talk of sabotage by the front office. Hugh Jackson really wanted A.J. McCarron. Sashi Brown, not so much.
Okay.
Sashi Brown, not keen on giving up second and third for A.J. McCarron when Jimmy Garoppolo, the most sought-after backup quarterback in the entire league, just fetched only a second-round pick from the San Francisco 49ers. Sashi Brown said yesterday in a press conference, it's a lot simpler than what's been written. Truly, this is just a matter of getting to a deal too late in the process. I think both sides, both Cincinnati and us, tried our damnedest to try to get the paperwork in at least last minute. We're talking minutes and seconds before the trade deadline ended. We were on the phone with the NFL at the time to try to make it happen, and it did not happen. I do think Cincinnati in earnest tried. I know we did everything humanly possible to get it done. It just didn't happen. It is truly that simple.
What kind of paperwork are we talking about here? I mean, is it a signature?
So what happened? So this is where the whole story comes about. I think it was 55. So what was it, 1 o'clock our time? So 3:55, the Cleveland Browns put together the paperwork that has to be signed by both parties and sent it to the Cincinnati Bengals. Now, recall, the Cincinnati Bengals said they didn't see the email because it came from an unrecognized Cleveland Browns address. So they put together their own paperwork and sent it to the league, not realizing that the Cleveland Browns had not done their paperwork for the league. So they tried to get it to the Cleveland Browns. By that point, it was all too late. The Cleveland Browns filed an appeal saying, we were in the process. We were trying to get all this stuff done and get it to you. Here's what happened, blah, 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 blah. The NFL said, nah, player, that's not how that works. A deadline is a deadline. So we're going from, did Sashi Brown sabotage it, to were they just too incompetent to get this done?
They have dial-up? What's going on here with their internet?
What's worse, though? Yeah. Like, what's worse? The general manager, who's going to be fired, give me a break.
Well, everybody's going to be gone.
They're all gone. But what's worse? They couldn't get the deal done because they were incompetent, or he tried to sabotage it. It, like, which one is worse? Because no one, no one looks good in this. No one, no one looks good in this process. No one.
Incompetence would be far worse.
I think so. I think so too.
I mean, sabotage. You have two people into different opinions, which you should be able to get on the same page with your coach and GM. But whatever. If you're not, you're not. But incompetence is what we already think of Cleveland, and now it's being fed clearly, just right down, right there, right in front of us.
And what makes it worse, like, you're the general manager.
Yeah.
Don't you?
You should call the shots.
Doesn't Hugh Jackson work for you? And if
should
you
be.
Say, like, nah, we're not doing this, isn't the answer, nah, we're not doing this?
Right.
Like, where's the conversation at?
Yeah.
So I actually don't believe the sabotage part. Like, I think that's silly. It's a fun theory to talk about because it's Cleveland. But I tend to believe the incompetence much more.
Yeah. I wonder, do you think A.J. McCarron's good with this? Because this was an opportunity to be the starter.
No. No, I don't. I think he wants out.
Okay, but does he want to go to Cleveland?
Oh no.
Yeah.
No.
So it's like, here's my opportunity, but not that opportunity.
Yeah, I don't want that one.
Yeah.
But he's another guy who's going to get paid.
Yeah. Which, again, we have to. I do believe he's a good backup quarterback. I think Brett Hundley's a good backup quarterback. Hasn't really shown us that. So now is
McCarron. They're good backups.
Right. But so then is, you know, Garoppolo's been a good backup. Is he ready to be the guy, the starter? Doesn't always work out that way. Sometimes.
Which is why, Jason, I said you can't just throw Jimmy Garoppolo out there all willy-nilly with a non-talented San Francisco 49ers roster.
Then, but I think you assume it's all going to be fine by the start of next season.
It is. They're going to fix everything.
Willy and Nilly?
Willy, both of them.
Yeah.
Millie and Vanilli. Millie, Vanilli, Willy and Nilly. They're all good.
Then they'll be set. Are they blocking for him? Because then.
Well, that's what they need. Yeah. Well, Millie Vanilli's going to get someone else to block for them, but that's how that's going to
nicely done.
That's how that's going to work there. Did you see the Alabama story, by the way? The Sports Illustrated published a story yesterday that two players from Alabama's 2009 national championship team accepted cash in exchange for signing autographs to memorabilia. Did you see that?
Mm-hmm.
We're talking, you know, small dollar figures. We're talking $200 and $400. This was in December of 2009. Again, that 2009 team, they were undefeated. They beat Texas in the BCS National Championship.
Why does some of this stuff take so long to get out there?
Well, this is, I think this is an angry, somebody involved in this is angry.
Okay.
So they're
what letting, a shock.
They're letting some information get out there.
Yeah.
What's the dollar figure we draw the line on, right? Because I looked up the what got Tressel fired,
or with Pryor and all
the,
that.
The Pryor, the tattoos, the money. I think it was $15,000 worth of money and tattoos with significantly more players. And then there was Tressel who knew of it but didn't report it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot more going on there. But what's the dollar figure where we go back and say, well, we're stripping Alabama of all their wins? Like, where does that come
I don't know. I mean, even in all these infractions, like, should it matter? Like, let's go back to the UCLA guys in China. I mean, if they stole candy bars, it's stupid. But is that something – or are they really taking, like, clothes, jewelry? I mean, I don't know what they're accused of, to be honest. But I think we think of it differently, though. But should the dollar amount matter?
That's what I'm trying to get at. I have no idea.
I mean, if you're – guilty, you're guilty.
And truthfully, I caught this story yesterday. I haven't heard it getting much run today.
Yeah.
Is it because it's Bama? Is it because it's Nick Saban? Like, why is it? Why is it because it's $600? Like, what is it?
I don't know. Make it go away.
Well, it could be because the college football playoff rankings are coming out in just about an hour. We'll give you our thoughts on that. Plus, perhaps the greatest 30 for 30. We haven't seen it yet, but we're just proclaiming it.
Woo!
Perhaps the greatest 30 for 30 ever made will air tonight. We got that for you as we wrap things up on the Lowdown next. Woo! Nature Boy! The 30 for 30 airs tonight on Ric Flair. You know, you were kind of throwing some questions out there earlier when we were talking about this airing tonight. And I had said to you, Ric Flair now, you know, Ric Flair was huge. He got big in the 70s. He got huge in the 80s, but he wasn't even the most popular wrestler of the time because that belonged to Hulk Hogan. And the WWF was a very national promotion, whereas Ric Flair became famous. You know, we had been airing these clips and promos all throughout the day, and you'd hear him you know, reference places like Atlanta or Tennessee. It was big in the South because wrestling used to be so regionalized. And the NWA/WCW was kind of the Southern-based promotions, and WWF was the Northern-based promotion, but they went global. So they started airing out here, and unless you had, you know, cable and you had TBS, you didn't really see Ric Flair. Because if you had the station that aired the Atlanta Braves game, you know, 305, that WCW Saturday night would come on, and that's kind of how I became familiar with Ric Flair, and they would have these Clash of the Champions specials every once in a while. So I grew up knowing who Ric Flair was. I was obviously a huge wrestling fan. But here in 2017, I think Ric Flair is monumentally more popular and more well-known now than he was in the 80s or 90s or at any other point in his life when he was actually still a wrestler.
Which is incredible because that's really difficult to do. I mean, it really is. Mm-hmm. Just to be more, I don't know if pop culture, but yeah, I think you could just mention his name, not be a wrestler or wrestling fan, excuse me, and you'll know who he is.
And he's caught, in all, you know, we've told these jokes that he's the ultimate, you know, he's been with the San Francisco 49ers because he's around Harbaugh. Yeah. He's been with Michigan, and him, Tom Brady, they've all been together up at these Michigan play.
The Falcons
clinics
last year at the Super Bowl?
He's with the Falcons as well. He's on, you know, you just heard that song, About That Life. He's on Hip Hop Records. There's a song out right now called Ric Flair Drip. There's all sorts of references, and you asked me earlier, and we had to save it here as we were wrapping, you know, for this moment here, why?
Yeah. Like, why is it happening?
And you know why I think he catches on so much with athletes and why I think he's catching on with the generation now, particularly an older generation, is because Ric Flair, you know, Hulk Hogan was like a cartoon character at the time. And, you know, I was, you know, I always felt like up until like I was 20, wrestling grew up with me. So when I was like 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, that's when WWE was trying to cater to 18 to 34-year-old men, where they'd have women out there with barely any clothes on. They suck it, middle fingers, and all of that stuff that they were doing. But when I, you know, when I grew up, when I was 5, 6, 7, that was Hulk Hogan. Mm-hmm. And he's very cartoonish. And I knew who Ric Flair was, but I couldn't relate because Ric Flair is rocking suits. He's you just heard him. He's talking about suits and limousines.
Rolex,
and and jewelry and taking private planes here, and, you know, I've never been worn out in a single night except that night I was with Bo Derek. You know, you hear things like that as a 6, 7, 8-year-old. I can't relate to that. Mm-hmm. But now I want to be Rick. Woohoo! I want to be Ric Flair. And when you see professional athletes, what are associated with professional athletes? Women, jewelry,
money,
limousines. Yeah. Ric Flair still at, you know, however 70 years old or whatever he is, embodies that. And I think that's why professional athletes are so drawn to him. That's why rappers are so drawn to him. He's been on ESPN, you know, since got like 6 this morning. And he was talking to, you know, our friend Kerry Champion earlier about how he texts regularly with Snoop Dogg. He just had dinner with Post Malone. You know, all of these hip-hop artists, they gravitate towards him because they talk about the same things. Mm-hmm. They talk about the jewelry and the clothes and the women and the private planes and the limousines and all of that. And I think that's why Ric Flair has, and plus professional wrestlers and people love him. Hulk Hogan doesn't have that same, like, love.
Right.
Like, if you were a Hulkamaniac when you were, like, you have love for him. But people within the industry and people who spend time around these guys, they don't have that same love for Hulk Hogan. They have that love for Ric Flair.
That's
and there
pretty
was
cool.
genuine, like, concern when he was sick a few,
sure,
you know,
just
a month.
Couple months ago or a month ago?
Like, not Ric, man. Don't, right. You can't take Ric. Don't take, and so, like, I'm, and Ric is an, Ric can cry on cue. Like, he's an emotional guy. Like, if he's out there, you want me to cut an emotional promo? Fine, I'm going to go out there and cry. He can do it. So I imagine this is going to be a pretty eye-opening 30 for 30. And I know a lot about Ric Flair, so I'm anxious to watch this. It'll be fun.
Well, those are always so well done, so it's going to be good.
There is no better. I'm telling you, 30 for 30 is the new Kleenex.
Yeah.
Right? 30 for 30 is going to replace the term sports documentary from here on out.
Yep.
In about an hour, though, we're going to get our second round of college football playoff rankings. We both think the top four will stay the same in Bama, Georgia, Notre Dame, and Clemson.
Correct.
I actually think the top five are going to stay the same.
Oklahoma
at number five.
I have that. Same.
Where do you have any changes coming up?
I think I have a few tweaks. I did up till 9. So 9, I had Washington. 8, I have Wisconsin. So remember last week I had Wisconsin in the top 4. Mm-hmm. But now after there, where they had them, what the conference has done, I have them at 8. I have TCU at 7. So I've moved them up because I think they want that TCU-Oklahoma game to mean a little bit more. And then Miami at 6 with Miami Notre Dame coming up this week. That makes it a little bit more juice to that too.
We're almost identical. I actually wonder if they're going to put TCU at 6 instead of 7.
Okay. And Miami at 7.
And have because one of them are gone.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's Oklahoma or TCU, one of them is gone. Notre Dame has Miami this week. So there's a couple of teams that are going to get thrown out of this conversation here by the time we revisit this conversation next Tuesday. And so I'm with you across the board. I just looked at Wisconsin's schedule because they're, you know, the hot topic right now is, can a Big Ten team be undefeated and not get into the top four, not make the college football playoff? They got Iowa, Michigan, and Minnesota left on their schedule before a potential Big Ten championship.
Yeah, me in here this week or next week. Is that at Iowa or is it Wisconsin?
Nope, it's Wisconsin. Wisconsin and Michigan are both at home.
Okay.
So
it still may end here pretty soon for them. Me.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think they're going undefeated. I just don't think they're that good. But if they do, there's no one on this schedule that makes it look like, oh, yeah, you got to put them in front of a, you know, who knows. I mean, because the winner of the TCU-Oklahoma game is going to be in the top four.
Right.
The winner of the Notre Dame-Miami game
will either stay in there or Miami could jump in.
Yeah, probably could be in the top four.
Is there any chance, I'm such a Pac-12 guy, for Washington? Or are they just too far back? I mean, I guess there will be some losses ahead of them.
Yeah, there's going to be some loss. I mean, how far back are they going to move the loser of Notre Dame and Miami?
Yeah.
And how far back are they going to – I think this eliminates Oklahoma if they lose. In fact, yeah. I think it eliminates either one of them. It takes them out of the conversation. So that's going to get you – the question is, can Washington jump Wisconsin at any point?
Right.
Because
it's only one loss.
They could probably get into the 5-6 category.
Yeah, I mean, they can't lose, obviously. If they win out, I wonder if they could do it.
But I don't know how valuable the Pac-12 championship is.
Yeah, it would work as if SC is just 2, which they do now. If they stay at 2 and get into like about 8-9 range and beat them, that's their chance.
Kings Thunder tonight. The streak ends right at the Golden 1 Center.
Mid-range city.
Please don't forget to use it. Let's get that trending. Hashtag mid-range city. That is the theme for tonight's game at the Golden 1 Center. Jay Ross is back at 6:30 with Kings Live. Tip coming up at 7 o'clock. Thank you so much for being with us. We'll recap everything tomorrow at noon.